God is not good. You might be very surprised to hear me say that, seeing as I regularly give talks about God and how he is good. So why am I saying that? Well, I'm quoting the title of an influential book published in the year 2007 by Christopher Hitchens, who, if you were following the theism versus, well, actually it's atheism versus theism. Atheism was taking the initiative in bashing theism. The atheism versus theism debates, which were quite prominent in the Anglosphere at least, catching the attention of intellectuals up until, well, it'll never die out, it's going on, but there was a lot of hoopla and a lot of woo, woo, this way and that way. Well, I guess it died out a bit. Christopher Hitchens died, is one thing, and Richard Dawkins, who was another of the four horsemen. There were four prominent atheists who were, they were, someone dubbed them the four horsemen. Christopher Hitchens was probably the most pugnacious, although that would be closely followed by Richard Dawkins, who is the most famous, and then Sam Harris, who continues the debate with Jordan Peterson at, I must say, generally higher level of debate than we used to see with Hitchens and Dawkins, and Derek Dennett, who's in there also among the four horsemen, although he's not as well known as the other three, at least as far as I can see. Anyway, Christopher Hitchens in the year 2007, in the midst of all this hoopla, atheism versus theism, wrote a book called God is Not Good, which is a very provocative title. I said he was pugnacious. Because the very definition of God, we may say, what is considered to be the most intrinsic characteristic of God is that he's good. Even some theists, in their effort to solve the problem of evil, if God is all good, which they presume, and he's all powerful, that they presume, otherwise he can't be God, then how come there is evil in the world? Why doesn't God stop it? So one theist, long before, well, long, not very long, maybe a couple of decades before the Hitchens, Dawkins, Harris, Dennett assault, and others also, of course, assault on theism. There was one theist Jew, a prominent American rabbi by the name of Hare Krishna. Sounds a lot like Hare Krishna, doesn't it? So he wrote a book called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, which the essence of it is that God is all good. He's a nice guy, but he's not all powerful. He's not really in charge of what's going on. Maybe he got a little senile, or the devil got some kryptonite or something and became supercharged. I don't think he wrote that in the book, but it's a problem for theists, which atheists, it's a problem. How is there evil in the world? It's called the problem of evil, and I believe the technical name for that is theodicy, something like that. So Christopher Hitchens solved the problem by saying that God is not good, and therefore, if you say God is not good, then it's something like saying, "Well, Winston Churchill isn't British." His mother was American. Anyway, the Queen of England is not English, and then maybe see her ancestry. I'm trying to give some example that it just robs her of her whole identity. So if you say God is not good, then it's sucking the juice out. There's no God left. So that was his aim. His book was an attack on religion, and especially on organized religion, which he claims, it's a common claim of atheists, or as actually Christopher Hitchens did not like to be called an atheist. He said, I am anti-theist. So atheists and anti-theists, we don't want to disturb Christopher Hitchens resting in peace. Is he resting in peace? I don't know. So we don't want to disturb him by saying that There you go. I'm not nearly as intelligent as Christopher Hitchens. Christopher Hitchens cursed me from the grave. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, he made this book to make the point that organized religion is the core. It's a common argument of atheists that, of course, Christopher Hitchens doesn't believe he survived the grave. Anyway, a common argument of atheists is that religion has caused more harm than good in the world, which is one good reason to disband religion. And no religion to imagine all the people, as John Lennon said. What a great world it would be if there were all these different conditions in it, including no religion. And we could add to that no heroin too, which John might not agree with. But he's also gone beyond to the deep sleep, as some people think. Very deep sleep. He's dead. So it's Christopher Hitchens in his book goes to show that actually religion is not good at all, and it's a very bad influence in the world. Now, one reason I suspect that this theism versus atheism debates have died out is that it's the same hackneyed arguments over and over again. And it doesn't really seem to go anywhere. It's largely subjective. What does it mean if you say what is good and what is bad? And taking the whole world situation over the whole of history, there have been many what you might call good things, and definitely many things which, whether you call them bad or not, they are bad. So it's an intractable problem. You can't, although both sides will claim that their position is right, that you can't really measure it. So it just, like I said, it's the same old hackneyed arguments. But the theists and the atheists, they both seem to accept the basic premise that if God is good, well, wait a minute, the world should be good. The world should be good. Right, that's it. The world should be good. And that, the theists say if we believe in religion, then the world will be better, and the problems are caused by not being religious. And the atheists say, no, the problems are caused by being religious. And there's probably a bit of truth in both of them, but then again, that's my subjective opinion. So I didn't have that much interest in these discussions because I accept that God is good, and I accept that God is not good. Both things are true. I am blessed. I consider myself blessed by having received a knowledge of God which is far more sophisticated than either the theists or atheists on both sides of the debate can even enter into. Sada Sach Chaham Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, I am Sat and I am Asat. Now the word Sat means truth, eternity, ultimate goodness, and Asat is the opposite. So it means the non-truth, non-eternity, the opposite of ultimate goodness. And you can say, well, how can that be? So God is good and God is not good. And you say, wait a minute, what's going on? How can God be not good? Well, the answer to that is that God encompasses everything. So even non-goodness cannot exist without him. Now, today, we who are fortunate to identify ourselves as part of the Vaishnava community, the worshippers of Vishnu, Vaishnavas all over the world, from whichever sampradaya or group they may be in, are celebrating Vamana Dwadashi, the anniversary of the appearance of the avatar of Vishnu, Vamana. Actually, some may be celebrating on a somewhat different day. Anyway, we in the, at least I can say in ISKCON, we're celebrating Vamana Dwadashi today, the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva, the avatar of Vishnu, known as Vamana. And God is not good. Christopher Hitchens said that about organized religion, because he doesn't believe in God anyway, so you can't ascribe qualities to something which doesn't exist, except non-existence. But then, if you ascribe the quality to it, then does it exist? A unicorn, does it exist? Well, at least it exists in your mind, and then you get into all kinds of philosophical. Okay. Organized religion is bad. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said something to the same effect. He said that organized religion, the attempt to organize a religion, results in, exactly the words he used, I don't remember, but it results in the kind of depravity that even the most avowed atheist would be horrified at. So maybe he presaged Christopher Hitchens. Of course, Christopher Hitchens isn't the first to say this kind of thing, although he has made a cogent case against organized religion. So anyway, Vamanadeva, it's the appearance of him in the world, but what he did, what he's most famous for, was at the time, by the powers that be, considered absolutely wrong, horrendous, immoral. These were the rulers, not just of this earth, but of the whole universe. The rulers of the universe at that time, that means the most respectable, honored, aristocratic people. Now, in the universal affairs, as described in the Puranas, there are the devas, who are known as the demigods, and they're at the top of the universe, and they're the ones who are usually considered the best and the most respectable. But the asuras, who may be called the demons, at the time of Vamana's appearance, they had usurped the position of the demigods. So they were the ones who were they were the aristocracy. They were the ones who were the arbiters of morality. What is right and what is wrong. And what Vamana did to them was absolutely horrific, wrong in all respects. Now, what did he do? He took away their kingdom, which means he deprived the king who had conquered over the heavenly planets by fair means. means he amassed his army. He came up to the heavenly planets, and the demigods didn't even fight. They all just ran away. So that's fair. He was prepared to wage a fair battle, but the demigods didn't even bother fighting because they knew they were hopelessly impotent before the terrible might of the demons. So Bali had taken over the kingdom by... Bali is the name of the leader of the demons. And he'd taken over the kingdom by proper means, and they wouldn't have had the same kind of grudge against Vamana, the avatar of Vishnu, if he had faced them in fair battle and deprived them of the kingdom. They would have had a grudge, but that would be because they were outdone. But the grudge they came to hold against him was because he was not good. If someone fights with fair means and defeats you, you feel humiliated. But they were just cheated. He cheated them out of their kingdom. The story is well known among Hindus, we can say. Or at least it used to be, but now Hindus don't know anything. But mostly they don't know anything about their history or their culture or their religion. They don't have a clue. They should read Srila Prabhupada's books, and then they'll get a very good clue. So anyway, what Vamana did, Vamana means a dwarf. So although he's the supreme lord and he can cover all the worlds with a massive form, he came as a Brahmana dwarf to the bank of the Narmada at Bhrigu Kutch, where Bali Maharaj was performing Vedic sacrifices, a very religious thing to do. He was doing it in a very religious way, performing Vedic sacrifices to shore up his position, because he understood that to hold a position of power for a long time, you need the blessings of Brahmanas. He was not, at least overtly, a theist, but he did believe in the Vedic process. So he was performing sacrifices, and at these sacrifices, it is incumbent upon the person who organizes the sacrifices, who has them done on his behalf. He's called the Yajaman. It's incumbent upon him to give profuse charity. When a king performs a public sacrifice, he has to give profuse charity, especially to the Brahmanas and the poor people, the Shudras and the Sutras and the carpenters and so many people. They'll also be well benefited, but especially the Brahmanas are supposed to be given charity. And it is considered, actually it's a fact, that the more one gives to Brahmanas, the more one accumulates punya or piety, which gives one power for enjoying this material world. Piety for a kshatriya, a member of the ruling or fighter class, as Bali Maharaj was. Punya translates into power. For a vaishya, punya translates into cows, gold, land, and so on. For a brahmana, punya translates, it depends on what kind of a brahmana is. If he's materialistic, it'll translate into going to the heavenly planet. For everyone, it translates in going to the heavenly planets. And for advancing on the apavarga vatna, on the path toward liberation. So, especially if there's a very qualified brahmana, if you give to a highly qualified brahmana, that means one who's very austere, very learned, from a very good ancestry, very pure in his habits. If you give to such a brahmana, then the value of the charity is enhanced many times. So, Vamana came walking to the place where Bali Maharaj was performing sacrifices. And he could be seen from a distance because he was so effulgent. His bodily luster was so great that everyone could understand just by seeing him that he's a very great personality. So he came in the guise of a brahmana, and it seemed like he was a very, very great brahmana coming for charity. That's understood. If a brahmana comes from a distant place to the public sacrifice of a king, it's understood he's come to beg something, because brahmanas are entitled to beg from kshatriyas, and especially they do so at the formal occasion of public sacrifices, where giving to brahmanas is an essential part of the sacrifice, with which it's not complete. Mantrahinam adakshinam. There are various conditions which are stated in the Bhagavad Gita as being a sacrifice which won't work. So one of them is without mantras and without giving proper dakshina, which means charity, specifically to brahmanas. So, Bali Maharaj, he asked for he said to Vamana, "I'm very happy to receive you. And what do you want me to give you? I can give you whatever you like, because I'm in control of the whole universe." And Bali Maharaj, speaking like self-realized brahmana, said, no, I won't ask for very much. All I will ask for is enough land to support myself, how much do I want? I want simply 3 steps of land by the measurement of my own feet, which means he's a dwarf. How much land can he cover? It's ridiculous. That's not enough. That's hardly enough to support a flagpole. Well, you could put a few flagpoles in 3 steps of land, even of a dwarf. But it's not enough to build a house on. Maybe you could build just a little shelter or something like that. So Bali Maharaj, he was actually quite amused. He said, "Oh, you're just a little boy. You don't know what's good for you." And he gave him some advice. "You see, you should..." And he also thought, such an effulgent personality comes to me and I'm just going to give him 3 steps of land. It's going to be embarrassing for me. I should give him much. I can't give that little to anyone. It makes me look like a total miser." So he tried to induce Vamana Dev to take more, but Vamana refused. And then in the end, well, I said, okay, what to do? In the meantime, the guru of Bali Maharaj, Shukracharya, by whose direction Bali Maharaj had become so powerful, told him, "Don't give anything to him. It's Vishnu coming to cheat you. I read it in Prabhupada's book." I read it in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's the yuga cycles go round and round. Shukracharya didn't say that, but he's a very insightful brahmana. He has a lot of power, and he's able to imbue that power into Bali Maharaj to make him so powerful to overcome the demigods. And they may ask, well, why weren't the demigods taking power from their guru? And the reason is that they had insulted their guru, or Indra, the king of the demigods, had insulted his guru, and therefore they had lost all the protection that comes from, that Kshatriyas get from Brahmanas. So, Bali Maharaj thought, no, I gave my word, I can't go back on it now, and Shukra gave good advice, citing from scriptural directions how you can go against your word under certain circumstances and not be wrong, and this is one of those circumstances authorized by scripture. But Bali Maharaj was insistent. He went against his guru, which is a very, very heavy thing to do in Vedic culture. It's disastrous. As Indra had found out by insulting his guru, it caused disaster. And that's why when the demons came to know about this, then they became more attentive to getting power from their own guru, because now was the opportunity to defeat the demigods by Brahminical influence, because the demigods had lost their Brahminical tej, or the Brahminical power which supported them. So Bali Maharaj, there are other reasons also. Bali Maharaj thought, if I can give to Vishnu, that's good, because Bali Maharaj was a closet Vaishnava. He was a nominal demon, but he had heard from his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, who is famous as a great Vaishnava, and Prahlad Maharaj also a closet preacher of Krishna consciousness. So he'd heard from Prahlad Maharaj about the glories of Vishnu. And Bali Maharaj was a closet Vaishnava. Even though he was the king, he couldn't come out and say, I'm a Vaishnava, because a condition for being the king of the demons, the very definition of demon, of asura, is Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva Asuras Tadvipariyaya. A definition of a godly person is one who is a devotee of Vishnu, and an asura or demon is just the opposite. So he would lose the qualification. And circumstantially, he was in such a situation like that. He didn't follow his father, who was a committed demon, Virochana, who had already been killed by the trickery of Indra. By the good character of Virochana, and the trickery of Indra, Virochana had died. So, Vamana has come, and he's ready, and everyone's thinking, anyway, three steps of land, what the hell? Vishnu or not Vishnu? But Shukra knew, this Vishnu, he's a very tricky character. And so, Vishnu being God, he can do whatever he likes. There's nothing that he can't do. And therefore, putting one leg on the ground, he extended another leg all over, covering half the universe, and with his arms outstretched also, that he included all the ground underneath. So he got it in two dimensions, he got everything, half the universe. Then with another step, he went over the half the universe. And he took the whole universe. And then he said to Bali Maharaj, you said you're going to give me three steps, but I already took all your land with two steps. So you're a cheater. Vamana was cheating Bali, and he accused Bali of being a cheater. How about that? Remember what we're talking about? God is not good. And then Bali Maharaj said, well, how about putting your foot on my head? Okay, that's a good solution. So in this way, Vamana cheated Bali Maharaj. Actually, it's a great compliment to Bali that Vamana adopted a superhuman tactic to overcome him. He showed his power as the supreme to overcome him, suggesting that by military means that Bali Maharaj was invincible. So he had to adopt some other means. Another consideration is there have been so many kings who have conquered the world. They're so powerful, and they're forgotten in due course of time, just like Christopher Hitchens will be forgotten in due course of time. But God will not be forgotten. Whether you believe in God or not, at least the concept of God, the idea, the worship of God will continue. It's just like, I don't know if it's an actual fact, but there's an ironic joke in this regard that someone had written graffiti. God is dead, sign Nietzsche. That was one of the great sayings of the philosopher Nietzsche, the German philosopher. Although they call him a philosopher, although he doesn't have any really cogent philosophy, although I guess that's indicative of the way philosophy was going in the Western world. So God is dead, sign Nietzsche, graffiti. And next to that, someone put some other graffiti, because Nietzsche was in the 19th century. Nietzsche is dead, sign God. So in the same way, Nietzsche died, Hitchens died, John Lennon died, you will die, I will die, God will, the worship of God will continue. So, God is not good. Well, it appeared like that. But he did something very great for Bali Maharaj. Apart from humiliating him, on the spot he was humiliated by looking like a complete fool for having just given everything away, whimsically it seems. But then Vamanadeva gave Bali Maharaj a kingdom better than the one he had. Better than the one he already had. So even in worldly terms, he gave him something better. But even above and beyond that, he made Bali Maharaj eternally famous as a great devotee. Kirtir Yasya Sajivati. One who is famous continues to live, said Karna. We'll find that in the Mahabharata. Who is famous, he continues to live by his good name, or maybe bad name also. Well, Kirti generally means Sukirti, good, famous for doing good things. So Bali Maharaj is remembered even now, and for a Kshatriya, one of his goals of life, if he's a really great Kshatriya, not every Kshatriya can hope for this, but that he will be remembered for his good deeds into the future. Just like Ashok, he was a Kshatriya king in India who converted to Buddhism, and then he made his edicts, he put them on pillars around the country. He'd conquered India. He was the emperor of India, practically, a lot of India. So he became famous in this way. Or they sponsor, they like to sponsor the arts, poets who will write in praise of them, or just they'll write other things also, like Kalidas was, he was the great Sanskrit dramatist and poet. He was sponsored, he was in the court of, who is that, Vikramaditya, I believe, so it said. And Kalidas's fame lives on in his Sanskrit poetry and dramas, and then naturally the king who sponsored him, he will also be remembered, riding on the back of someone else's fame. So in this way, Vamanadeva was very good toward Bali, but at least superficially, he was very bad. Demons, they blamed Vamana. Yeah, he's very bad. He's very bad. Look what he's done. Generally, people blame others for doing wrong, and they don't look at their own faults. And we could say that's in the theism versus atheism debate going on at the present time. The theists like to point out all the good things that religion has done, and they'll admit, yeah, some bad things also. And the atheists very strongly say, no, if it hadn't been religion, then there wouldn't have been the Crusades and the Christians. They supported the slave trade for so many years, and the Christians point out, well, actually it was people who were nominal Christians who were running the slave trade, although they didn't consider themselves nominal Christians, they considered themselves full-fledged Christians. And they said, but it was Christianity that was a major force in galvanizing opposition, which eventually stopped the slave trade. So like this, each side wants to show their good points and minimize their bad points. But the demons, they will blame God, not seeing their own bad points, as if he's the only one who's bad. Now, what can we learn from this? One thing, Vamana, in his activities, he established the principle that the means justifies the end. The demons should be removed from the rule of the universe because they're against the supremacy of Vishnu himself. And if people are against Vishnu, however peacefully they might live in society, because the demons, they're not always rambunctious. They also like a little time to enjoy themselves in peace. Jine or jine do, live and let live. But without a sense of God consciousness, then simply living peacefully in the world, it doesn't do any good to anyone, because actually this world, we're saying what's good in the world and what's bad in the world, but actually if we understand from God himself, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and in the Vedas, Veda Narayana Sakshat, the Vedas are given by Narayana, if we understand, then actually, this world is not a good place. It's not a happy place. And we are in this world because of forgetfulness of Vishnu. It's a great transcendental science to understand all this. But it was necessary for Bali Maharaj, or the demons, to be removed from their position of overlordship so that godly people, the people who accepted the supremacy of Vishnu, could again rule the universe for the benefit of the whole universe. And this means justifies the end was very much seen in Mahabharata, with Krishna devising all kinds of tactics to make the Pandavas win, and even people criticize Vishnu that, oh, you see, he did so many bad things, immoral. But the means justifies the end. But you better make sure you've got the end, you really know what the end is, and you're able to effect the required changes. Because it's not that everyone can just say, well, the means justifies the end. One has to be very sagacious in understanding how to act in this world. Even Bhagavan Rama, who was and is the paragon of dharma, he apparently acted in ways also that were against dharma, although actually they weren't, but superficially it might seem the way that he killed Vali and that he put Sita to such a test when she was released from captivity, and that he had her banished from the kingdom. In some ways, it might seem that even Ram was bad, although everything has to be understood very, very carefully. And this is a point that requires deeper understanding than has even been approached by the protagonists on both sides, if you can use the word protagonist for both sides, for the contestants on both sides in the theism versus atheism debate. They're going on with a very narrow view of what God is or should be like. They're arguing about the existence of a God according to what they think God should be like. Now, not only Vamana and Krishna and Rama, they're all accepted as God by the Vaishnavas, who are the prominent theistic group in Vedic culture. They're all accepted as what in the English language is known by that glib term, God. The Vaishnavas are the most prominent theistic group, and of course we, the Vaishnavas, would argue that we're the only really theistic group. And not only do we worship the Supreme Lord in his form as Vamana, even though it appears that Vamana as God is not good, it might appear superficially, and that Krishna is God, but he's not good, and that even Rama is God and he's not good, but we worship Parashuram, who killed all the Kshatriyas race 21 times. You may say, well, how could he kill them 21 times? You kill them, they're all finished. Well, there'd be more waiting in the wombs of their wives, right? So 21 times he rid the world of the whole Kshatriya. He was Parashuram. Parashu means an axe. So with his axe, he lopped the heads off of all. And among the Dash Avatar, or the 10 prominent avatars, the one who you might say is really very good and very peaceful is Buddha. But then he's considered not within the Vedic. We worship him as an avatar. It's a very mysterious avatar. But at the same time, his teachings are not accepted. His teachings of peace and morality, they're not accepted within the Vedic culture. So it might seem that the Vedic culture is institutionalized worship of a God who is not good. But that's only from the Dr. Frog perspective. Dr. Frog, he thinks he's a great philosopher. He's worked out how the world is going on. He knows what's right and what's wrong. But he lives at the bottom of a well, and he doesn't know anything beyond his little well, and he thinks that's the whole universe. So in the same way, those who would criticize the Vedic understanding of the Supreme, they have no clue as to the depth of the metaphysical theism that is the basis of Vedic culture. It's so deep and it's so sophisticated, you could say, that the theism of the Abrahamic religions don't mind, but it just seems like something childish. And to fight over to squabble over the existence of the Abrahamic conception of God, that's a very broad term, the Abrahamic conception of God, it's like two children arguing over something which they really have very little knowledge of whatsoever. Yes, God is good, that is true. He's also not good. But even his not goodness is good. Whereas in this material world, even what we call good is not good. Because without knowledge of God as he is, then everything we try to do good is automatically not good, because we are in this material world due to ignorance of he, due to ignorance of our existential subordinate position to him. And trying to be good, trying to be happy, trying to be peaceful in this world without subordination to him is the cause of all suffering in this world. It's not religion, and it's not non-religion. is neither religion nor atheism per se, atheism as it's understood per se, that are the cause of the troubled situation of the world, but it is forgetfulness or ignorance of our eternal position in subordination to the Supreme Lord. This we can reflect on this appearance day of Vamana Dev. The followers of Vedic culture, they worship God who appears in various forms, which from the perspective of worldly morality might not seem good, are not good. We can say out and out, are not good. But they are good. But first of all, one has to understand what is the ultimate good for all living beings. But they don't even understand either the followers of the Abrahamic religions or their atheistic, anti-theistic opponents don't even understand the ABC of genuine theism, which is first of all to understand that we are eternal living beings. We have body after body after body in this material world, but our real constitutional position is that of eternal service to Vishnu. They don't understand it. And then what are they going to argue? Then you have, it's children playing snakes and ladders. To understand this, it's not such an easy thing to understand. God, you know the word God. And I think you can just say the word God and understand what that means just by having a PhD. And Dr. Frog was a brilliant scholar, a genuine PhD, sitting at the bottom of his well, thinking he'd got everything worked out. So do I think I've got everything worked out? No, I'll never work anything out because I'm tiny. And you are tiny. But if we take knowledge from God, then we can begin to understand these things. By his mercy, not by our own brain power, we can understand, does God exist or does God not exist? Another example, ants. They may be an ant crawling on my body, but it's beyond the power of the ant to even begin to understand what is the position of the human, even though he's crawling on the body of the human. What to speak of human society and art and science and social organization, morality, immorality, it's beyond the power of the ant to understand. So it's a very big topic. Krishna willing, if I get round to it, I'll give a series of talks on atheism versus theism. But just for today, on the celebration of the appearance day of Vamana Dev, I thought I'd say a few words about how God is not good and God is good. And today is also the anniversary of the appearance of Srila Jiva Goswami, such a great personality. Srila Prabhupada said that in one letter that he wants to spread the glories of Jiva Goswami all over the world. We can understand how great he is from his writings and all of Srila Prabhupada's books, which are the beacon of light in the darkness of this Kali Yuga. Kalo nashta drishamesha purana ko dunodita. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the beacon of light for Kali Yuga, and practically that is being made available through Srila Prabhupada's rendition of it and other books. So his rendition of it is all based on the philosophy of Jiva Goswami, which is absolutely based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the glories of Jiva Goswami should be broadcast throughout the world. How are we going to do that? If we try to broadcast the glories of Jiva Goswami, what is he? He's some man. He was very intelligent, and he left home at a young age and went and lived in another part of India and wrote so many books, and he was instrumental in getting land for the Gaurya Vaishnavas, their most sacred places, and say, oh, okay. From the material point of view, it doesn't seem to be anything spectacular. But actually, what he has done, the highly esoteric works of his gurus, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, he has given the philosophic basis for that, by which it can be begun to understood and respected in the society of Vedantic philosophers. So his contribution is enormous. That should be the subject of many lectures. But I'll just finish here now. And I'll plan on coming back and giving No, I won't just now. I'll have to give another short talk, but I won't right now. So, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya churnakang padayani patya kritvacha kakushatameta daham bravimi. He sadhava sakla eva vihaya durat. Goranga chandra charne kurutanu raga ha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumokaro navayam vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.